Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon mula Brisbane, naghahanda para sa nalalapit na paglakbay niya sa Cannes, si Rachel Maxine Anderson. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Congratulations. Ina goes to Cannes series next week. Take us to the day you found out that you were traveling to Cannes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the email landed from Cannes series telling us that they loved the series and they were just so impressed by how much it manages to achieve in such a short amount of time being an online series and how much it trusts the audience in terms of how it doesn't give everything away straight away in the first episode and it lets the audience kind of piece things together. And yeah, inviting us to the festival, which was just honestly such a dream come true. But also at the same time, it was always the goal. And I think when you work really hard to get there, it almost feels like things are clicking into place. And there's almost an element of like not being too shocked too, you know, because it was what you were hoping for and really striving for.
Did you like jump and say, oh my God, I got in? And who was the first person you called?
I was actually laying in bed and I like rolled over and I like, it was really early in the morning and I saw the email and I was like sort of half asleep. And then I rolled back over and I was like looking at the ceiling and I was like, oh my gosh, we did it. And my partner was still asleep next to me, but I was like, oh my gosh, babe, we got in. But yeah, obviously, speaking to the producers was really exciting that we got in, yeah.
So Ina is, can we say, like a year or so in the making?
Yeah, we shot it back in June 2025. But in terms of when the idea kind of sparked to write it, we're looking back at like 2022 is kind of when the idea came to me and started developing it ever since and worked towards writing the scripts in 2024. And then, yeah, we shot it last year and have basically been in post-production ever since.
So who's Ina? Is it someone you know? Is it your mum, your Filipino mum?
My mum, yeah. Well, that's where it's obviously come from. My mum, Rita, she's from the Philippines, so she's from Bacolod. And she came to Australia in the 80s and married my dad. She met my dad over in the Philippines. And, you know, I came along in 1992. And so, yeah, I grew up mixed race with my dad being from Australia with like a Swedish background and my mum being from the Philippines. But, yeah, writing this really came from a place of my relationship to my own culture and the way that I feel like I've been reaching for it ever since I was a kid, because there was something that felt missing, a part of me that felt missing that I wasn't really super connected to. And of course you can't always connect with your culture without first connecting with your bridge to that culture, and for that it has been my mum. So yeah, it's been really nice to reconnect with the Filipino side of me and also her in the process.
Watching the first two episodes, I see a bit of ambivalence between Gloria and her daughter. Was that something that you experienced as well?
It doesn't resonate for me to say that I grew up feeling ambivalent towards my mother or anything like that. I think what for the protagonist of Madeline in Ina, she's just very confused. She has a very confused sense of identity. She has grown up not feeling like she is connected to that side of herself. And you can't deny something that is in your DNA. Even if you've never met it before, it's just a part of you. And I think she feels like she's really lost and at the same time, she doesn't always feel like she can reach her mum to really bridge that kind of connection back to her. And really, it's just an analogy that we've used a lot in development is sometimes when it feels like there's something in between two people who want to be closer to each other, but really it's just a piece of paper and you just need to blow it away. I think that's probably something that I can relate to with me and my mum. You know, we've been through a lot over the years. My dad passed away in 2019. And so we've been through grief together and we've been through our hearts breaking together and us coming back to each other. And that really is about two people's hearts breaking and then they come back to each other as one piece again at the end of the series.
I love how food was the bridge between the relationship of mother-daughter. The lumpia, the halo-halo, and the pancit. Was it something that you grew up to as well?
Of course, yeah. I remember being young and going to Filipino gatherings with my mom and trying all of that food for the first time. You know, sometimes I liked it, sometimes I didn't. But my mom's an amazing cook. I love her food. I have always loved her food. I think maybe there was a period of my childhood where she was cooking it a bit less. But then as I got older and got more curious, like as a late teen or in my 20s, I started like kind of wanting that again. And food became something that mum and I really bonded over in terms of, you know, we would go to Filipino groceries together and she would introduce me to things I'd never tried before. And yeah, we made Hello Hello together when it was a few years ago that we did that. And that was really nice. And food is just such a beautiful way to connect people to back to each other. And you don't need language. Food is its own language. So I think it has made a lot of sense that food has been something that can really glue us to each other.
You grew up in the 90s. I assume you were a teenager in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah,
was there a time when you were like, I will only eat Filipino food when I'm at home, but when I'm with my friends, I'll eat fairy bread, I'll eat sausage roll, I'll eat fish and chips? Because some people who grew up in the 90s felt that way, that they had to keep their Filipino-ness inside the home, or when someone enters the home, they would mask it, hide it behind the kitchen because it wasn't something that was fully accepted back then. In the 90s and the early 2000s, diversity wasn't, different cuisines wasn't that popular. I mean, I came here in the late 90s and the most exotic food that you can eat around is Chinese food.
It's funny, like you're listing all of those foods and I'm like, it's almost all of the above. Like we ate Filipino food growing up, but also we would eat KFC and we would eat fish and chips, you know, because we lived on a coastal town. So, and my mum actually worked in the seafood industry as well. But in terms of Filipino food, hearing you speak, I'm like imagining the sleepovers that I used to have as a kid where like my white friends would come over and they loved it. They loved pancit. You know, like they wanted it, they requested it. They wanted my mum's cooking her Filipino food. So I think there was an element of Filipino food feeling quite celebrated in my younger years. But I'm not sure that my dad necessarily liked it that much.
The smell of patis.
Well, that definitely wasn't in the house.
When you finished the story for Ina, how did that feel?
That's a good question. I think something that we experienced in development was as I was writing the episodes, I was just pouring everything into it. And one of my producers, Danielle Redford, she's amazing. We had a phone call and she spoke to me and she was like, what is the heart of this story actually? what is the story that only you can tell? And this is when I had this big realization that here I was trying to tell stories about my culture from this place where I didn't really always feel like I knew everything. Like, do I really have the authority to tell Filipino stories when I'm, you know, mixed race, or there's not, I don't understand the language, I can't speak the language. There's this like insecure space, or this whole thing of not feeling Filipino enough. And the big epiphany for me was that is the story. You can tell stories from a place of unknown. And that has been my entire existence, this in-between of not knowing, am I this, am I that? Thinking you're 50% this, 50% that, but actually you're 100% both things. And something that our protagonist, Madeline, learns in Inna is that she's perfect just as she is, as a mixture, as mix. So I think that was a really big moment in development. But then I think I was still tweaking the scripts not long before we were shooting, really, because you're still sort of realizing things. The more you keep building out the world and you've got the characters and their arcs coming together and you're adding more layers. So I can't even really remember when I first finished the scripts, because it's just been this like evolving process where it's all been overlapping. But I think there were some really big moments in development where I made these realizations, like I lost my dad in 2019, and then I had my mum still here. And the question was for me, can I still be Filipino when she's not here to show me how to be? And I think that was like a big kind of feeling state that I brought into the story.
And how was it being Filipino Australian, coming in, presenting this story for a project for funding to a relatively Anglo environment?
I think it's been such a joy to see more Filipino stories coming out of Australia, Filipino Australian specifically, because there's so much specificity. Not just being Filipino, but being Filipino Australian. And, you know, I grew up not seeing myself on screen. And I think a big part of what motivates me is being able to represent something that hasn't typically felt very represented growing up. And for my mom as well, like, I want her to be able to see a Filipino Australian woman like her in her 60s, and now she can, because we've done it with the amazing Lena Cruz in a story, a mother-daughter story specifically like this.
So it wasn't hard for you to say, as a director, Lena, you should do this, Lena, you should do that, because she already knew the nuances.
Exactly, yeah. I think when I speak to both Lena and Triana, our two lead actors, when we met in the rehearsal room, we met at like Lena's accommodation not long before we started shooting. And it was magical just being sitting with them and as the characters and playing with different rehearsal techniques and improvisation and just them being the characters. We were like, we all are the characters already, you know? And the understanding felt so present without, just based on the scripts, I think. And yeah, it was such a different way of working where everybody's on the same page because we've all lived this story in our own way. And I think that was just a really beautiful shorthand to have with the actors.
So going back and forth with the story development, evolving storylines, working with the Filipino casts, did it make you understand your Filipino-ness more, or did it make you ask more questions?
It made me... Oh, I'm getting emotional, you asking me that question. There's something that our main character learns in the series, and that is that she is perfect exactly the way she is. She's not, she doesn't have to feel like she's not Filipino enough, that she, yeah, that she's special exactly the way she is. And there's a moment in the show where the main character, Madeline, is watching her mum on screen in the control room of the studio while her mum's in the spotlight and she's on the cooking show. And her mum looks through the camera at her and says, just like, hello, hello, perhaps you're special exactly as you are, as it's as a mix, you know. And in that moment when we were filming Triana, who plays Madeline, I decided to step in front of the camera and look at Tree, and I just mouthed, I love you. So she saw my face in the control room. So it was like, without even really knowing it at the time, it was like I was saying it to myself. Because I was telling myself that I'm enough as I am. I'm Filipino enough as I am. And to be on this set with Tree and with Lena and with all these other beautiful Filipino creatives that we had on the crew as well, the togetherness of that, like I just felt like I was with community. And I felt like I was with a community that I'd been able to create for myself as well. And that was quite a special moment for me to step in front of the camera and say to Tree as Madeline, but also to myself, you're enough. So yeah, that was a really nice moment.
Working with Miss Ruby Ruiz, how was it like?
Yes. Oh gosh, it was amazing. I met Ruby on a Zoom call, and it was unlike anything I'd experienced before. She was talking about Gloria, who is the mother in the series. And she was talking about her with such a clear understanding of that character. And she was able to validate things for me. She was able to validate things for the character of Madeline. And it was this strange experience where it felt like I was talking to an actor, but also the character, but also in a way it felt like I was able to talk to my mum in a way, in a creative language maybe, that I'd never really been able to talk about certain things. And it was such a new experience for me to be able to speak to a Filipino creative woman about characters and about themes and about emotions and about character journeys in a way that just felt so holistic, in a way that I'd never really experienced. It was like I'd been able to pull all these different pieces of me, the professional version of me, the creative version of me, the daughter, the Filipino in me, and have a conversation with one person who could understand every part of me. And that was amazing. I'd never experienced that before. And it was the same with Lena Cruz as well when I met her.
Because Ruby had the experience of migration as well. If I'm not mistaken, she lived in Canada for a few years. And it's good to see first generation migrants talking to second generation migrants and telling them, you know, this is my experience and hoping that yours will become better than mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is kind of something that Gloria says to her daughter Madeline in the series as well. Gloria says to her daughter, of course I want you to be better than me. You are better than me. You're smarter than me. You're so professional. You know, she says all these things, and it's almost like this idea of living vicariously through someone who has a stronger chance at something. Or, yeah, I think it's something like, I can't be ambitious without the sacrifices my mum has made. I get the privilege of having an ambitious career and a creative career because of the hard work that my mum has done to help get me in this privileged position. And yeah, it becomes very nuanced when you think about characters and people in that way.
Having said that, I think that was what your mom was trying to say from the beginning. You're enough. You're more than enough.
Yeah.
What's next after Cannes?
Probably a big rest. You know, we've always got more stories up our sleeves, but the story of Inna is something that we would like to keep expanding, perhaps in a long form. But we have other stories to tell as well, like my writing partner, the producer of one of the producers on Inna, Ray Choi. Her and I are also working on another series, which is called In Her Body. And it's a dark comedy series about a Chinese successful architect who swaps bodies with her Filipino house cleaner, and they have to spend the series working out how to swap back. So it's a dark comedy that we're in development for as well.
Looking forward to that. But in the meantime, good luck with Cannes and congratulations with Inna, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Maridel. Really appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming over. And till the next time.
Of course. Looking forward to talking again.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.